In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Happy first Sunday of glorious Lent. It is truly glorious because it offers all of us space and time. It is an invitation to self-examination, to honesty with ourselves in the full light of day, without fear, without judgment. It asks us to slow down, to reevaluate our inner motivations and outer behaviors, and to move toward tangible adjustments that create real change. All of this has a purpose beyond our own self-improvement, though that is always a good thing. The deeper purpose is to reorient us and our hearts and our minds, and to strengthen us individually, but also together as the church in our life of faith, our relationship with God, and our walk with this person named Jesus. The gospel for today follows directly on the heels of Jesus's baptisms. It is written that just as Jesus came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The gospel on this first Sunday of Lent also follows the transfiguration that we heard last week. It attests, "His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, 'This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased.'" And then God adds, "Listen to him." So often we hear and meditate on the idea that we are the ones being tempted in the wilderness. While we certainly do find ourselves at various points in our lives thirsty and wandering in the fertile yet challenging desert, it might be a huge relief to know that this story is not necessarily about us. On the other hand, the Garden of Eden story of temptation that we heard today is definitely about us. But the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness is very much about Jesus, his identity, his character, and his purpose. It tells us who God's beloved Son is and why we, who find ourselves naked in the garden, why we are to listen to him. On first reading, it appears that Satan isn't so sure who Jesus is. His first two challenges start out with, "If you are the Son of God, then do such and such." But scholars point out that the better interpretation of "if" is "since," or "in view of the fact that you are the Son of God." Without a doubt, Satan knows that Jesus has the ability, the power, to accomplish that which Satan is tempting him to do or to become. And all three of the temptations are attempts to entice Jesus into using his power for his own gain and to loosen or destroy Jesus's connection to God. The first temptation is to break his fast to satisfy his hunger. That sounds quite reasonable after 40 days of fasting, don't you think? But this is one of those times where evil hides in the good. It forces Jesus to decide whether or not he can rely on God alone. The second temptation, to throw himself off the top of the temple, sows the seeds of mistrust between Jesus and God. It is insidious as it opens up the opportunity to attempt to manipulate, to test God. Will or even can God really keep me safe and secure? The third temptation pretends that Satan is in control. It is aimed at idolatry and the human propensity to amass as much privilege and power over other people as possible. Jesus' response to the tempter tells us who Jesus is and why Jesus is God's beloved Son. Even though he can, Jesus refuses to usurp God. He refuses to use his own power to be like God. He has absolute trust in God's presence with him from the time he is led out into the wilderness until the time the angels come to wait on him. He is tightly tethered to God and insists on letting God be God. This is the Jesus we are invited to follow and emulate, the Messiah who grounds us in the knowledge, the deep knowingness down in our souls that God is real, that God is available to us whether we find ourselves in the wilderness or in a lush garden. That evil in this world will not, cannot prevail over God and the good. It is God who is in control. Along the way, we humans are given instruction as well as guardrails to help us strengthen our relationship with God and to thrive in the way God intends. The temptation in the garden demonstrates just how much we don't really like guardrails, boundaries put upon us, even if divine. We would be hard-pressed not to turn stones into bread when we were hungry. We sure are easily lured into exerting power over others for personal security or gain, and we certainly prefer maintaining tight control of our own lives, even to our own detriment, rather than the flourishing that God intends for each and every one of us. Given the human condition we find ourselves in, the need for power and control, safety and security, affection and esteem, what Thomas Keating calls our false selves, given that, what are we to do? Notice in the Genesis creation story, we are placed in the garden to till and to keep it. That is the church's mission and our purpose. God asks us to listen deeply to Jesus as he instructs us just how to till and how to keep. We have heard it over and over again, for it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Feed the poor. We have the capacity to turn our hearts of stone into copious amounts of bread, to produce fresh, real food and provide clean water to drink. Clothe the naked. Chad Drewton tells a great story about Reverend Ed Bacon, who every year has a coat drive right about this time of the season when it's really cold. And he collects spare coats from parishioners for redistribution. He was fond of calling all the excess coats sin coats. Welcome the stranger, for as Jesus instructs, even the least of these are members of God's family and have also been sojourners themselves. Care for the earth. We have the science and the expertise to reverse the damage we have done or that has been done on our behalf, to repair our reefs and clean up our oceans, rivers, and atmosphere. Heal the sick, all the sick, not just a privileged few. Tend to the animal kingdom, all sentient beings and the whole of creation, for it is where God first revealed God's self and declared it to be good. Above all, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. As tempted as we might be this Lent to go about our daily lives as usual, perhaps we can challenge ourselves to open our hearts to where God is nudging us. It will be different for each of us. For some, it might be a very personal thing that we need to change and involve the habitual in our lives, the damaging behavior or thought process or addiction. For others, it might be an examination of where we fall short in tilling and keeping God's creation. We all have a part to play. Where do we have on blinders? Where are we ignoring opportunities to serve? The Lenten invitation is to open our hearts to the presence of God through prayer, meditation, fasting in one way or another, for there are very many ways to fast. However we participate in this Lenten journey, let us faithfully imitate Jesus and follow him closely by trusting in God wholeheartedly, binding ourselves to God, and letting God be God. Amen.